ॐ हरि ओं तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओं सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः धीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः पेज नंबर 50 आई वाज रीडिंग द भाष्यम In the mantra, it is said, one who sees all the beings in oneself, when Shankara Bhagavatpada comments on a sentence, he makes it very clear, seeing all the beings in oneself is seeing all the beings as the self. Svam Atmanam Atmatrena. Teshamapi Bhutanam Svam Atmanam Atmatrena. Yatha Asya Dehasya Karyakarana Sanghatasya Atma Aham. सर्व प्रत्यय साक्षीभूतः चेतयिता केवलो निर्गुणः अनेनैव स्वरूपेण अव्यक्तादीनां स्थावरान्तानां अहम् एव आत्मा इति सर्वभूतेषु च आत्मानं निर्विशेषम् Anupashyati. The wise person sees the pure knowledge, the attributeless knowledge, reality, formless reality, attributeless reality, only secondless non-dual reality, obtaining as the very true to the knower, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, he sees that reality implied by the term Atma as the truth of all the beings. I, the Atma, am distinct from the body, not only in this body. I, the Atma, am the only Atma, the self of all the beings also. He sees that. Then, not only does he see the truth being one, he sees there is no second thing other than the Atma. He does not see anything other than Atma, different from Atma. He sees everything as Atma. Is it clear? It is like saying, for seeing the space in all the, first seeing the space in pot, being distinct from the pot, then seeing the same space in all the pots, then finally saying, seeing everything, all that is here is the space. Everything is space. Like that, everything which exists in Atma is Atma. It's actually Jagad Brahma Aikyam. Jiva Ishwara Aikyam, Jagad Ishwara Aikyam. It means, you have to see, there's no Ishwara other than the truth, there's no Jagad other than the truth, there's no Jiva other than the truth. There's no individual or total or the Lord other than the truth. Saha, Tataha, thereafter, Tasmadeva Darshanat. Very important is what? Tasmadeva Darshanat. It is only because of that vision. Without the vision is impossible. So only because of that vision of oneness of the reality, or only reality implied by the term Atma being the only self of all the beings, is because of that vision alone. Na vijugupsate vijugupsam ghranam na karoti. Shankaracharya gives another word, ghrana. The word ghrana has many meanings. So here we take it as hatred, aversion. Ghrinam na karoti. He does not entertain aversion towards anything afterwards. When darshanat tataha, after the vision. After the vision means what? Once the vision is very clear, then he doesn't see anything other than the self. Then vijugupsam ghrinam na karoti. As I said earlier, vijugupsate has, the verb has two meanings. One is wants to protect. One meaning is what? Vijugupsate means wants to protect, seeks protection. Vijugupsa means seeking protection. And Shankaracharya says, see the paragraph below, praptasya eva anuvadaha ayam. If you take this meaning of vijugupsate, meaning as wants to protect, one who seeks protection wants to protect, and now vijugupsate does not want to protect. A wise person does not make any effort to protect himself, does not want to protect himself. If you take that meaning, this ordinary meaning, why? Upanishad need not teach us that. Once a person becomes wise, this morning I explained, he's already, he has discovered self being the security. Self is the security. I, the self, am the security. So I don't need to look for security. I don't need to feel, I don't need to be secure. Why? I am the very security. Therefore, such a person is already, the vision already blesses him with absolute security. He is already free from sense of insecurity centered on I, sense of smallness centered on I. He is already free from the hold of fundamental problem, common human fundamental problem. Therefore, he doesn't need to he wants protection means what is natural, what is already understood, need not be repeated by the, restated by the Upanishad. So, praptasya eva anuvadaha ayam arthaha. If you take that meaning, it is only repetition or restating of what is already known. So, Upanishad says, we'll take a different meaning. Ghrit sarvahi. Ghrina. Atmanaha. Anyadushtam. Pashyataha bhavati. She says, Ghrina Vijugupsa is a noun, Vijugupsate is a verb. And the Upanishad says, wise person na Vijugupsate, wise person does not hate anything, does not have aversion towards anything. This is the meaning we should take, Shankaracharya says. Other meaning also is correct. But this is a meaning. What he says, he gives another word for Vijugupsa. Vijugupsa. Say?
Vijugupsa.
The word itself sounds like that, isn't it? Vijugupsa. Vijugupsa. And what is the word Shankaracharya gives? Ghrina. Ghrina. So, Grina, when does aversion rise in one's mind? Aversion also rises in the form of a thought. Why do I say it rises in the form of a thought? Aversion does not have a form, isn't it? Aversion is not something experienced outside. Aversion always rises in the form of a thought only, in your mind. So, when does aversion come? Shankaracharya says, Atmanaha anyat dushtam pashyataha ghrina bhavati. Aversion happens only for a person who sees something or anything evil or harmful for oneself. Aversion happens only for that person who sees an evil, who sees something harmful for the self. Otherwise, there is no need for him to have any aversion. Suddenly, can he decide to have aversion towards somebody, towards something? We cannot decide tomorrow morning 8 o'clock I will have aversion for this person. Can you decide like that? No. Aversion or anger, these are the things we cannot decide before. That's why we call them, no? That's why you can always think when I should get angry, what time, when, which day, and whom should I get angry. If you can decide, it's a thoughtful action. When anger comes, you do not even know you're angry. Only after anger comes and goes, you remember, oh, I got angry. We call it reaction. It is not action. If you can think before you have it, it's a thoughtful action. But anger is an emotion which is triggered, no? When an external situation becomes instrumental for it to be triggered. Similarly here, even aversion also cannot suddenly come only when a person sees something harmful, something evil, then aversion is possible. So Shankaracharya says, Atmanaha anyat dushtam pashyataha. If he sees something other than oneself, which is harmful to oneself, then aversion is possible. Now, wise person does not see anything other than oneself. Is it clear? We always see wise person is the one who sees himself as the Atma, and thereby he knows how Atma is distinct from everything. At the same time, nothing is different from Atma. One who sees everything as the Atma. For him, there is nothing which is not the Atma. Nothing which is not the Atma. Why? In a different perspective. We see from the standpoint of Upadhi, you can see something other than yourself. We see yourself from the standpoint of Nirvisesha Atma, Nirupadhika Atma, Nirguna Atma. Then you cannot see anything other than yourself. The wise person who has the clear vision of the Atma, there is nothing which is not the Atma. All that is there is only Brahma, only Atma. A second thing is not there. There is nothing other than the Atma. Therefore, how can anything be harmful to him? Wise person does not see anything other than himself. Therefore, a second thing is not there which can be harmful to you. If at all there is something which is mithya and which is dependent on satyam, you, its very existence, it cannot do any harm to you. Is it clear? Therefore, Atmanameva Atyanta Vishuddham Nirantaram Pashyataha. The wise person, one has got a clear vision and he can never lose sight of the vision. Even if you see the differences, even if the wise person is endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, even if he sees plurality of beings, even if he experiences the duality of knower known duality, he does experience like an ignorant person, he also experiences duality, plurality, multiplicity, but still he does not lose sight of the clear vision of Atma being one and the same, does not lose the clear vision of everything being Atma, essentially. Why? Nirantaram Pashyati. Always he sees. And what does he say? Vishuddham. Atyanta Vishuddhameva Atmanam Pashyati. Atyanta Vishuddham, absolutely pure reality, consciousness implied by the term Atma, he always sees. Which means, other than, once you see the Atma, there is nothing which is different from Atma. There is nothing which is not the Atma. Therefore, for such a person, na grina nimittam. So, there is nothing which can be instrumental, nimittam means which can be instrumental in triggering his aversion towards anything. Grina nimittam arthantaram na asti. Asti, na asti. It is very clear. Praptameva. This understanding is very clear for us. We have got this understanding that for a person who clearly sees the self, always sees for him, grina nimittam arthantaram na asti. There is no other object, there is no other thing which can be instrumental in triggering his aversion. If the perception of duality is real, only then, if you see anything other than yourself, then something can be instrumental in triggering your emotions. Not only aversion here, even anger or fear or anxiety or any emotion, even likes and dislikes, can be triggered some situation, some people, something can be instrumental in triggering the emotion, it can surface. When is it possible? Only the perception of duality is real. Only if you think that you are different from the world is different from you. Only if you think, if you, only for you, every individual is different from every other individual. Jiva, jiva bhedaha is real. How real it is? Empirically real, relatively real, objectively real. But absolutely, there is no jiva, jiva bhedaha. Absolutely, there is no jiva jagat bhedaha. There is no individual world division, absolutely. Duality is not there. There is no jagat ishwara bhedaha. There is no duality. No, there is no difference between world and the Lord. There is no duality between Lord and the individual. So, jiva ishwara bheda, jiva jiva bhedaha, jiva jagat bhedaha, jagat ishwara bhedaha. All these differences. Sajatiya, vijatiya, swagata, all these differences also are possible only if you look at, if the perception of duality is real. Duality is there, plurality is there, jiva jiva bheda difference is there, jiva ishwara bheda is also there, jiva jagat bheda is there, jagat ishwara bheda is there. All these differences, all these divisions are real, not unreal, but they are not absolutely real. They are empirically real, objectively real. So, Shankara Bhagavatpada does not deny the perception of duality. Even after jnanam, perception of duality will continue to be there. Even after having the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the non-duality of the reality, still perception of duality will continue to be there. But in your perspective, the change will be there. Perception of duality will not be different. But the difference will be in your perspective, that you will not take the perception of duality for reality. It is not absolutely real. It is as though real. That is called Vyavaharikam Satyam. What is empirically real should not be mistaken for absolutely real. The whole samsara is because of mistaking relative reality for absolute reality. We mistake the Vyavaharika Satyam for Paramarthika Satyam. Why do we do that? Because we do not know what is absolutely real. So when you are ignorant of what is absolutely real, it is natural for us to mistake what is relatively real to be absolutely real. Once you have a clear vision of what is absolutely real and what is relatively real, objectively real, will be taken as only objectively real things. So perception doesn't change, but in your perspective there is change. Called cognitive change. So, ghrina nimittam arthantaram na asti. There is no object, there is no reason, there is nothing for a wise person which can be instrumental to trigger his aversion towards anything. Why? Because nirantaram pashyati, nirantaram pashyataha, for the one who sees always, continuously what he sees, atyanta vishuddhameva atmanam pashyati. See, when you say what is only water, this is also a vision of the fact. When you say this fact, when you have a clear vision of the fact, what is only water there, you do not deny your experience or perception of duality in terms of wave and ocean. You do perceive wave ocean difference. You do perceive wave difference. You do perceive. But even though you perceive, you experience wave division, wave ocean difference, but still what helps you see, resolve these divisions, what is it which helps you see, helps you resolve that division? Your vision of the water being the only truth. Is it clear? Similarly here also, even though we see all these divisions and differences, all this world of duality, plurality, multiplicity can be cognitively negated and resolved, which was said in the very first verse, Ishavasyam, Ishasya, Atmanaha, Darshavena, Idam Sarvam Vasyam. Everything has been covered means what? Everything has to be resolved cognitively. It was already said. Now it is said here, Vacha person, it is not possible for any aversion to be there. Nothing can trigger any aversion. Is it clear? In Jnanam, that's why I said, maybe tomorrow I'll explain that. What is absolute purity? Tomorrow I'll explain that. Today, this part is over. This lesson is over. We'll move on to the next mantra. So, sixth mantra's commentary is over because yesterday itself I explained very well here, this one. I've already explained it. So, I don't need to, I only want to finish reading the Bhashya. As I said earlier, the sixth and the seventh, both the mantras discuss knowledge and its benefit. You already see what is knowledge and what is the benefit of knowledge. Now, see the page number 51. Yamivartham. Page number 51. Iyamevartham Anyopi mantraha aha Anyaha api mantraha aha. Anyaha api mantra means other mantra. This seventh mantra also Imam eva artham, same meaning, same content, what has been already discussed in the previous mantra, imam eva artham, imam artham, this meaning, which, this meaning, the meaning which has been already discussed in the previous mantra, Imameva artham anyaha api mantraha, other mantra also presented, discussed. Not discusses, other mantra also presents. We'll take it as other mantra also reveals the same teaching. Now the question should come, why does the other mantra also reveal the same teaching? We have already seen Shankara Bhagavad Pada wrote in his commentary, Mantranam na jamita bhavati. Remember the word? Veda Mata, she is not tired of repeating. She doesn't feel exhausted repeating the same thing. See, which mother gets tired of looking after her child? However naughty, mischievous, and the child is, how many ever times she has to change the diaper, clean the baby, keep feed the baby 3 times and 4 times. Which mother gets tired of her baby? She worked very hard for 9 months to have, first of all. From the day of delivery, you know, every day is a day. Carefully fondles. Great Shraddha. Because the mother's interest in it, that is why mothering is not a job. You cannot pay for it. For any other job we can pay. Mothering is not a job, non-payable job. Not unpaid job. Non-payable, okay? You cannot be paid for it. Because it is non-demanding. Whatever mother does, nothing is demanded in return on the part of a child. Just, that is something inexplicable. Isn't it? So the mother doesn't get tired. All her interest is a child should be well. Child's wellness, well-being, welfare is the only interest. Mother's interest is only child's wellness. Shruti Mata also, her interest is only our wellness. Shruti is our mother, who takes care of our emotional well-being. Biological mother takes care of physical well-being, to some extent emotional well-being also, but there is a time she herself cannot handle, because she is a baby herself, from one perspective. So we need a most mature mother to handle. The mother must be most mature mother. And who is the most mature mother here? Who can handle, who can contribute for the emotional need of the child? Help the emotional well-being of the child. Only Shruti Mata. So she doesn't get tired. So here Shankaracharya already saw in his Bhashyam, Mantranam Jamitana Bhavati. Mantras do not get bored with repeating. That is why I am not saying, okay, don't complain. Imameva artham anyaha api mantraha aha. Sometimes when we have understood the teaching very clearly also, as a student we may feel a little tired. Oh, we have already understood, say something differently. Why are you repeating it? The Shruti repeats, and the teacher repeats more than what Shruti repeats. So it's very natural for us to feel bored. No. Why? The subject matter is very subtle. It is not simply understanding. It is also a question of ascertaining. Therefore, Shruti repeats. Okay? Imamevartham. Anyaha api mantraha. Anyopi mantraha. Aha. Yasmin sarvani bhutani. Atmai bhavud. Vijanataha. Yasmin sarvani bhutani. Atmai bhavud. Vijanataha. Tatra. Ko mohaha. Kashokaha. Ekatva manupashyataha. Tatra. Ko mohaha. Kashokaha. Ekatva manupashyataha. So now you know the content of the meaning. Repetition. But the phalam is different. Previously, the benefit of knowledge was presented as freedom from vijugupsa, aversion. But here it is said, the knowledge of benefit is freedom from delusion and grief, conflict and grief. In fact, freedom from delusion and grief or sorrow is actually freedom from the hold of all emotions, which is freedom from the hold of mind. It said again, Yasmin Sarvani Bhutani Atma. I'm breaking the verse now. Yasmin Sarvani Bhutani Atma Yeva Atmaiva Abhut. In the wake of which knowledge? Yasmin means in the wake of which knowledge? When knowledge takes place, it means when the clarity dawns, when a person has clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the abstract, suppressed reality obtaining in the form of consciousness as one's own self. Then, Sarvani Bhutani, Sarvani Bhutani, what happened in the wake of the knowledge of the truth? All beings, Sarvani Bhutani, we are going to see the Bhasha. Sarvani Bhutani, all beings, Atma Yeva Abhut. Before the knowledge takes place, how was all beings? All the beings were different from oneself. Before knowledge, before understanding of the truth, before the knowledge arose, all the beings were different from oneself. I am different, world is different, I am different from every other being, every being is different from every other being, I am different from the Lord, Lord is different from me. This was the perception, this was the understanding. But after the vision, what is the understanding here? After the vision, Sarvani Bhutani Atma Yeva Abhut. All beings became the Self. All beings became the Self means all beings do not become the Self. All the beings being already the Self, non-different from the Self, becomes clear. Okay? All the beings being non-different from the Self becomes clear. Before, all the beings being non-different from the Self was not clear. Before, they were seen differently. Before, the Self was seen as a limited individual. As seen was limited, time-bound individual. As an individual who was subject to time, space and object limitations. As a parichinna jivaha before the vision. But after the vision, He doesn't see himself anymore as the body, mind, sense complex, which are subject to all threefold limitations. But now he sees himself as the Atma, which is free from all limitations. Sees himself as the Atma, which is of the nature of limitlessness. And the standpoint of the limitless reality Atma, he doesn't see anything being different from the self. Nothing is different from the self. And seeing everything being non-different from the self is what seeing everything as becoming the self. Sarvani bhutani atma eva abhut. All beings have become the self for whom vijanataha. Vijanataha, vijanan means the person who knows the truth. Vijanataha is a possessive case. For the person who knows, okay, for the person who knows, for the wise person, vijanan in this context means the person who knows the truth. For the wise person, in the vision of a wise person, everything has become Atma. It means nothing is different from Atma. Sarvani bhutani atma eva abhut. So when knowledge takes place, this is what happens. If the knowledge of the Atma is not there, you cannot help seeing everything being different. You cannot resolve the differences and divisions. Please understand, even after attaining the jnana, physically we are not doing anything. We are not removing the differences and different divisions physically. We are only cognitively resolving, intellectually, cognitively resolving the differences and divisions. Is it clear? That's very important. Physically nothing is done. Intellectually, cognitively, we are resolving all the differences and divisions. And you see, everything is one. Nothing is different from Atma. That's what he says, yasmin sarvani bhutani atma eva abhut vijanataha. Yasmin kale jnana avasthayam, the time of when the knowledge takes place, this is called perspective change. Then once a person is endowed with such a clear vision of Atma being everything, all that is there is only Atma, there is nothing which is not Atma, then for such a person, what is the self? What is I? For him, what is only the self means, for him the I has to resolve that I sense in that very self. He can say, instead of saying what is only Atma, he will see what? All that is there is myself. I, the self, am the whole. It is not enough if a person simply understands what all that is here is Atma. He must know that I am the Atma. It's not simply saying all that is here is Brahma. No, Aham Brahma Asmi. I am Brahman. I am Atma. I am the whole. When this vision is very clear, is what is clear vision? I am the whole means he does not have any more individuality. even though the wise person remains as an individual being, endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, he also drinks, eats and goes to toilet and then does his duties like a regular person. But still in his perspective, he is very clear. What is very clear? You know, there is no more individuality. He has already resolved his individuality in totality. So he says, I am the whole. Absolutely, I am the whole. Relatively, okay, there are divisions. It is very clear. And for such a person, kaha mohaha kaha shokaha, how can there be grief, sorrow or sadness? How can there be delusion? How can there be conflict? You must remember, this is a kaha means, what is delusion, what is grief? Actually, this is a question. These questions are not actually questions. These questions are presented as an expression of objection, confirming how can there be grief, how can there be conflict, how can there be delusion for the person who sees everything, for whom all that is there is only the self, Atma. Ekatvam anupashyataha vijanataha. For the person who is endowed with the vision in the wake of which everything is Atma, for such a person, how can there be conflict, how can there be grief, how can there be delusion? Mantra doesn't ask the question, what is grief? Explain. What is sorrow? What is delusion? Explain. This is not a question here. We are not asked questions. Literally, if you translate this verse, kaha mohaha means what is delusion? Kaha shokaha, what is grief? Does Shastram want explanation from us? No. This is not actual questions. We don't need to explain. Shastram doesn't want to listen to any boring explanation from us. Shastram only gives us an interesting fact. It's a very interesting fact. For a person who sees the truth and who sees everything as the self, for him there cannot be mohaha, there cannot be shokaha. Is it clear? Ho ekatvam anupashyataha tatra. Tatra means what? The person who is blessed with this vision, clear vision, and who is reveling in the vision, remaining with the vision, for such a person, ekatvam anupashyataha, for the person who is everything as only reality, who has the vision of the oneness of Atma, ekatvam is oneness. Ekatvam anupashyataha, the person who sees the oneness of the truth, for him, how can there be grief or delusion or conflict? This is the literal meaning of the verse. Now we'll move on to the Bhashyam. So what is the benefit of knowledge? If we have wisdom, if you are wise, then you will be free from, absolutely free from shokaha, grief, and mohaha delusion. Delusion means what? Lack of discriminative understanding of what is real, what is not real, what is seemingly real, what is absolutely real, what is seemingly real. Okay, we must have the discriminative knowledge, discriminative understanding of what is absolutely real, what is seemingly real. This discriminative knowledge of what is absolutely real, what is seemingly real, is said to be satyam mitya vivekaha. Okay. And first of all, we will have clear vision of what is absolutely real, what is seemingly real. And once you have this viveka, and absolutely real alone is real, what is seemingly real is as good as non-existent. And actually, what is absolutely real alone is in the form of seemingly real world. It becomes very clear. Therefore, this delusion will go. When the delusion goes, grief also will disappear along with the delusion. Shastram repeats and repeats and repeats, your grief has no legitimacy at all. The grief is purely because of your aviveka, your lack of discriminative understanding of what is absolutely real, what is empirically real. Because of your ignorance of what is absolutely real makes you mistake what is relative really real to be absolutely real. Okay, delusion is the cause of your shoka. Mohaha shokam janayati. Mohaha eva shokam janayati. What causes sorrow? Delusion. It is not the seemingly real world does not cause sorrow. Please understand. Who causes sorrow? Does the world cause sorrow? Is world responsible for your sorrow? No. The poor world. Okay. The world is only seemingly real. How can a seemingly real world cause sorrow? You say world understand no situation, not people, not their behavior, not relatives, not family members, not friends, not acquaintances, not the job you are doing, okay, not the place where you are living, not okay, associations. The thing is responsible for your grief. Can you believe this? So world does not cause any sorrow. Poor world, your only relatively real world is not responsible for your sorrow. Okay, anatma doesn't cause sorrow. Does atma cause sorrow? Who else is, what else is there? Anatma cannot cause sorrow. Atma also does not cause sorrow. Why? Atma, which is of the nature of fullness, happiness, cannot cause sorrow. And what causes sorrow? What is the cause of sorrow? Not, okay, this lack of discriminative knowledge of what is atma, what is anatma, is the cause of sorrow. Even that is not sorrow. What is sorrow then? Mistaking the anatma for the atma. Mistaking the mithya for satyam. Mistaking the objectively real world for real world. A absolutely real world. Understand? This is what causes the sorrow. Okay, what okay, is lack of discriminative understanding. Delusion causes sorrow. So what is the no delusion has to be resolved. When will delusion go? How will delusion go? If you discover what is absolutely real, then you ask the question, if a delusion has to go, what causes the delusion? The shokaha has to go, delusion has to go. Because delusion causes the grief. But what causes the delusion? Isn't it called paramparaya? Parampara nonsense. It is the ignorance, lack of knowledge of understanding of what is absolutely real. So ajnana, ignorance of what is real, what is absolutely real, is the cause of lack of discriminative knowledge of what is real, what is not real. So if delusion has to be resolved, ignorance has to be resolved. So once ignorance, that's why this wise person whose ignorance has been resolved, you know, he has a clear vision of the Atma. When he is here going through Shravanam, Mananam, Vidhyasanam, the person has a clear vision of the Atma. Ignorance is gone. And the ignorance goes not afterwards, like we wait for 2 days, then go delusion. No. Simultaneously, ignorance is resolved, delusion becomes resolved. When the delusion goes, delusion caused show grief results. Resolution of grief, in fact, implies the resolution of the samsara. Old samsara. Okay? Which is freedom from bondage. We are going to see all those things in the Bhashya. So, ekatvam anupashyataha tatra kaha so kaha shokaha kaha mohaha. Now, the verse is over. We'll move on to the Bhashya. Yasmin kale.
Yasmin kale.
See, no, first he says yasmin. Shankar Bhagavad Pada takes the first word of the mantra. Yasmin is the first word. And what is the meaning he gives? Kale. Yasmin means kale. Kale means in that time, at that time. At that time means what? The time when knowledge becomes clear, when there is clarity, when the clear vision is. When the clear vision is, when the knowledge takes place, that's the meaning. Yasmin means kale, at the time. Which time? At the time of knowledge. Okay, when knowledge happens. It is yathokta atmani.
Yathokta atmani.
Yatha ukta atmani. So atmani means what? In the Atma, which has been discussed, analyzed, unfolded earlier in the previous verse. Yatha ukta atmani means what? The Atma which has been already seen, analyzed, discussed, unfolded in the previous before. In such an Atma, what is Atma now? What is Atma? Self. What is self here? The truth. Truth of I. Like truth of wave is water, truth of I is abstract, formless reality. And in what form does reality obtain? reality obtains in the form of pure knowledge. How do we know reality obtains in the form of pure knowledge? Because we arrive at the reality, we understand the reality as the truth of the knower. We arrive at the reality as the knower. And we ask the question, why does reality know? Then we get the answer, reality knows because knowing is its nature. Thereby we arrive at the, we understand the reality, abstract reality, in terms of its nature of knowing. That reality is one, all pervasive, therefore it's implied by the term Atma. And in that Yathokta Atmani, in that Atma va Tanyeva Bhutani, Tanyeva Bhutani. For yes, the word yes, yasmin, the relative locative case of the relative pronoun, Shankara gives two meanings. One meaning he says the time of knowledge. Another meaning is the Atma in which. Yasmin Atmani, Yasmin Kale. He gives both meanings. I'm just telling you what he gives. Tanyeva Bhutani Sarvani. Tanyeva Bhutani Sarvani. Same old all beings, those all beings which have been already mentioned in the previous mantras. Tanyeva Bhutani, Tanyeva Bhutani, Sarvani Bhutani, Sarvani Bhutani. Many times mantra repeated. Shankara Bhagavata also repeated, but he does not want to say again. Tanyeva Sarvani Bhutani. Sarvani Bhutani means all beings. And what is the meaning Shankara Bhagavatpada has given for all beings? You have to put three. First meaning is what? Nama Rupa Kriyatmakam Jagat. All forms, names and functions which obtain exist within the realm of time and space. Then another meaning is what? Kriyakaraka Palalokrupam Jagat. All accessories, actions and their results. Third meaning he gave. Avidya Avyaktadini Stavarantani. Third meaning. Avyaktadini Stavarantani. The word avyaktam stands for unmanifest power of reality. Stavarantani stands for manifest power of reality. Take it that way. Anyway, unmanifest or manifest, what does it stand for? Power of reality. Unmanifest power or manifest? Manifest or unmanifest, what is it? Power. What is the power of reality? Knowing. Knowing is otherwise called knowledge. Is it clear? The power of reality is knowing. This knowing power is unmanifest. When the power of reality, the knowing power is non-recognizable, it is known by the term avyakta shaktihi, avyakritihi. Understand? And the same power of reality manifest is when it's recognizable power, it is in the form of the whole world. Okay? The manifest power is called knowledge. Unmanifest power is ignorance. And the source of the power is pure knowledge. Source of the power is pure knowledge. Manifest power is vritti jnanam. Source of the power is pure knowledge or consciousness, implied by the term Atma. Don't worry, I have two more weeks again to explain to you these things. I have another big unfoldment. I'll do it, don't worry. That this is the Sarvani Bhutani. What is the meaning Shankara gives? Avyaktadini Sthavarantani Jagat. Means nothing is left out. Other than Atma, the entire Anatma Prapancha is brought out in that one word. Avyaktadini Sthavarantani. All mobile, immobile element, everything. Tanyeva Sarvani Bhutani. It is again Paramartha. See that line in page number 51. I am reading again. Yasmin.
Yes.
Kale. Yathokta Atmaniva. See, for Yasmin, two meanings are given. Kale. Another meaning is Yathokta Atmani. Va means R. O-R. Tan yeva bhutani sarvani, tan yeva bhutani sarvani, paramartha, atma darshanat, atma yeva abhut. So, this avyaktam and vyaktam, unmanifest power, obtaining in the form of total ignorance, manifest knowledge in the form of the entire world of plurality, all of them, he sees what? He sees the entirety, isn't it? And everything became Atma itself. Sarvam Atmeva Abhut. Just have this much. I'll explain again further. Okay, manifest, the power of reality manifest is in the form of the objective universe. The power of reality unmanifest is in the form of total ignorance. Which means everything is Atma Abhut. Everything became Atma. Everything became Atma. Became Atma means what? Everything is Atma. For a person who sees the water, all the waves became water. Means what? Waves do not become water. Waves are already water. Is it clear? The person who sees the water, for him all the waves became water. Means all, everything became water. Similarly, for the person who knows the self, everything became Atma. So Shankara Bhagavatpada again mentions Paramartha Atma Darshanat. Please say that. Paramartha Atma Darshanat. Paramartha Atma Darshanam. Before, there was Parichinna Atma Darshanam. Before, he did not have Paramartha Atma Darshanam. Before the Jnanam, he had what? His understanding was of only limited. Parichinna Atma. Only he thought he was limited individual. But after knowing, shifting his essence from the limited body, mind, his complex to the formless reality, grossest body to the subtlest consciousness, he sees the self from the standpoint of the real nature, all became Atma, means all being already Atma. All are already Atma. So paramartha atma darshanat atma eva abhut. Nothing which is not the self for him. Atma eva samvritaha. Shankaracharya's meaning. Atma eva abhut is the original text. Shankaracharya's meaning is what? Atma eva samvritaha. There is nothing which is not atma, everything became atma. For whom? He says, paramarthavastu vijanataha. Paramarthavastu vijanataha. Paramarthavastu means the absolute substance, ultimate truth. Paramarthavastu means absolute reality. There is nothing other, you cannot go beyond that. That is the absolute. Paramartha vastu vijanataha. But the person who knows this absolute reality, tatra, there, tasmin kale, at that time of knowledge, tatra atmani, in that atma, kaha mohaha kaha shokaha. How can there be, how can we see any grief or delusion? Tatra means what? There at the time of knowledge. Tasmin atmani, tatra atmani, in that atma. When a person understands I am consciousness, the all pervasive reality implied by the term atma. Now tell me, does consciousness have any grief? You have to tell me right now. Shankara tells this. I am not telling. He is asking, tatra, there, where? When the person sees the truth being his self, when the person arrives at the reality in terms of consciousness as the truth of knower I. And he has to ask this. There he has to ask, oh, I, the knower, am consciousness, when he arrives at it. And he has to see the fact, does this consciousness, I am the knower, knower is consciousness, so I am consciousness implied by the term Atma. Does Atma, the consciousness, have any grief? You have to ask now. I'm not telling you. Does Atma have any grief? Does consciousness have any grief?
No.
Does consciousness have any delusion? Grief is a state of mind. Delusion is a state of mind which obtains when there is lack of discriminative knowledge in the mind. But consciousness is the witness of all these. Consciousness doesn't have grief or delusion. Is it clear? Therefore he says, tasmin kale tatra paramartha vastu vijanataha. For the person who knows the truth, there, that at the time of knowledge, there in that atma, va kaha shokaha kaha mohaha. It's already very clear. Anatma does not have grief. Anatma does not have delusion. Nor does anatma cause delusion or grief. Atma does not have delusion. Atma does not have grief. Atma does not cause grief or delusion. And what is this delusion? What is this grief? This grief is a state of mind obtaining in the home of a thought. Delusion state of mind obtaining in the home of a thought is not just a thought. It is there when there is lack of discriminative understanding. Okay. Let me tell you now how, what causes the grief and sorrow, we have to understand here. See, if at that time, tatra tasmin kale tatra atmani atmani no na mohaha na shokaha, there is no moha or grief or sorrow or delusion and part of the atma. Atma is ever free. If you see yourself being Atma, you are free. That is the meaning. No, next sentence he gives. Now he himself gives the reason. Please read next sentence, very important sentence. Shokascha,
mohascha,
kama karma bijam, ajanataha bhavati. See, grief and sorrow bhavati happens. Grief happens, sorrow happens, delusion happens for a person who is ignorant. Ajanan means ignorant. Vijanan means the person who knows. Ajanan means person who does not know. Be careful. Vijanan is the person who knows. Ajanan is the person who does not know. Okay. Shokascha mohascha bhavati means grief happens, delusion happens for the person who is ignorant. Ajanataha, for the ignorant person alone, grief happens, delusion happens. But he does not know what. Very interesting thing, very important thing, Shankara makes it very clear. He does not talk about the ignorance of the self. Be clear. Shankara does not talk about the ignorance of the self. He says, kama karma bijam ajanataha. Bijam means seed. And seed, you know, seed of desire, seed of action. Now, what is the seed of desire and action? Ignorance. The person who is ignorant of ignorance, for him alone grief happens. If you are ignorant of Atma, no problem. Now he, Bhagavan Shankara, allows you to be ignorant. Who is not ignorant? Everybody is ignorant, born ignorant. Nobody can be born wise person. Being ignorant is okay. But what is the problem? Amazing. Are we like this? Kama karma bijam means seed of desire, seed of action. What is the seed? What is the seed of ignorance and desire? Ignorance. So kama karma bijam is equal to ignorance. So ajnanam, ajnanam ajanataha. The person who is ignorant of ignorance of the self, for him alone samsara is. There is ignorance of ignorance. See, you do not know you are. You know you are, but you do not know what you are. There is ignorance. But you do not know that you do not know what you are. What is that? Ignorance of ignorance. And being ignorant of ignorance is innocence. Is it clear now? He says, kama karma bijam ajanataha. See, Shankara allows. He leaves the person who is ignorant of the self. And for whom this grief will be there, this delusion will be there? For the person who is ignorant of the ignorance. For him alone it is there. Therefore, what is important, we are all mukshus. We are all seekers of happiness. We all seek freedom from limitations. Pujya Swamiji always used to say, a mumukshu must get converted into a jignyasu. We are all mumukshus. We all seek freedom. We all want to be happy. We all want to be peaceful. We don't need to be taught. Please have desire for happiness. Should somebody come and tell us, please have desire for happiness, as if I don't want happiness. We are desperate for happiness and peace. What you already have, you need not be taught to have. Isn't it true? If Shruti comes and tells you, please all of you have desire for happiness, then Shruti cannot be considered a pramana. Isn't it? We all mukshus. Naturally mukshus. Being a mukshu means what? Being a seeker of freedom. Being a person who is searching for peace and happiness is a mukshu. Being a mukshu. And we are all mukshus. Everybody wants to be happy. Ask anybody who wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. People of all times wanted to be happy. Everywhere people want to be happy. Always people want to be happy. In fact, I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody. I want to live long happily is a natural emotional urge. It's a common human fundamental desire, and which alone becomes all forms of desires. Therefore, Shastram need not teach us to become a mumukshu. So, but a mumukshu, already we are mumukshus. But being a mumukshu is not enough. If you are a mumukshu, you must be converted into a jignyasu. Jignyasu means what? The one who wants to know. It's jignyasu. And you must have a desire for knowledge, desire for freedom from limitations, desire for happiness must be converted into desire for knowledge of the truth. Why? It is ignorance of the truth is the cause for samsara. Therefore, ignorance has to be resolved, for which I must know. Isn't it? I want freedom from samsara, for which the cause of samsara has to be removed. And remove the cause of samsara, I must know. One must know the value of knowledge. For a person to know the value of knowledge, thereby to become committed to the pursuit of knowledge, one must know, first of all, I do not know. The problem is, unless and until you are exposed to the teaching somewhere or the other, there is no way of finding ignorance being the root cause of samsara. We do not even know that we are ignorant. Is it clear? You do not know, you are ignorant. And not only you are ignorant of the truth, you are ignorant of your own self. When I say ignorant of the truth, you are ignorant of yourself. Please understand important fact. Being ignorant of the absolute, ultimate reality of the whole universe is actually being ignorant of one's own self, ignorant of one's own real nature. You know your body, you know your sense organs, you know your mind, you know, you study anatomy, you study physiology, you study psychology, you understand how the mind functions, how the sense organs function, how your heart functions, how your body functions, what, you know, physics, you know, hari medicine, you understand all about how to keep your body healthy. You know, you study all sciences, help you understand how to look after physical well-being. The problem is, you do not know what your real nature is. What an individual human being is essentially. In fact, what you are essentially, you do not know. Not only you do not know, that you do not know that you do not know. That is the problem. You are ignorant of ignorance of yourself. So, Shankaracharya says, ignorance of the self is okay, but the problem, ignorant of ignorance is the problem. Unless and until you come to know that you are ignorant of your real nature, you will never make efforts to know what you are. You will not search for pramanam called shastram to know what you are. If you do not make any efforts to know what you are, how can you know what you are? And as long as you remain that you do not knowing what you are, there will be hacha person alone, shokaha mohaha bhavati. I like it last time. Isn't it true? Isn't it very nice? Last word, what she says? Kama karma bijam ajanataha bhavati, ajnanam ajanataha bhavati, not atmanam ajanataha. All the time he was talking about atmanam ajanataha. The person who is ignorant of self, for him, shoka moha happens. Now he says, not for the one who does not know itself, the person who is ignorant of ignorance, for him it is. Why? Once you know that ignorance is the cause, if you come to know of your ignorance, that is a big leap. Okay? You must know you are ignorant first. And that then belief is there. Then you can try to know what the truth is, what you are. Once you try to know what you are, then you will end up in knowing what you are. Once you know what you are, your perspective will change. Isn't it? Then you, the whole world, you will see in that knowledge, in the vision of what you are, you will see everything being non-different from you. You see the whole as yourself. Ahame, Aham, Idam, Sarvam, I, the Self, and the Whole. In such a vision, for a person who is in such a vision, there won't be moha, there won't be shoka. Why? I am the body, mind, and complex, means you can't help having shoka moha. I am atma, the consciousness, means there won't be shoka, there won't be moha. Shoka moha do not go away. You can see there's no shoka moha for atma. Therefore, finally he says, Natu Atma Ekatvam Vishuddham Gaganopamam Pashyatah. Natu, I'm going to stop here. Atma Ekatvam, the person who sees, Pashyatah, Pashyan, the person, seeing person. Pashyataha, positive case. For the person who sees the fact, for who sees the oneness of the self, who sees means what? Who sees very clearly the Atma being one. Who has the clear vision of oneness of the Atma, the self, and who sees the purity being the nature of the self, how pure Atma? Gagana upamam. Gaganam means space. How whatever objects exist in space, how space is untainted, untouched by anything which exists in space. Space is always pure. How do you say that? Whatever exists in space cannot, does not touch, taint, pollute, impure the space. Is it clear? whatever problems and objects which exist in space have, those problems do not afflict the space, touch the space, cannot touch the space. Space is always ever pure, untouched, untainted by the forms, names, colors, all objects which exist in space. See, water exists in space. Can water make the space wet? Understand? Like that. Now, all colors exist in space. Do the colors make the space colorful? No. The dirt is there in space. The dirt makes the space dirty? No. The space, in space, everything exists. But nothing can taint, touch this space. Space always is untainted by the impurities or anything of attributes of the objects, things, forms, names and functions which happen in space. Which exist in space, which happen in space. Is it clear? Like that, Atma also is ever of the nature of absolute purity. Atma also is not tainted or touched by impurities of the mind, limitations of the body, mind and its complex, or attributes of anything which exists in Atma. Okay? So what Shankaracharya says here, Atma ekatvam gaganopamam vishuddham pashyataha na chokaha mohaha. For the person who has clear vision of the Atma, being one, Atma being absolutely pure, which is comparable to space in terms of purity, and for such an Atma, there is no grief. For a person, there is no grief, there is no more delusion. The person will be a person of absolute clarity. Is it clear now? I already said there is no greater luxury than reveling in the clear vision of the truth Atma. So here ends the... I am very happy. Today I could complete. Oh, one more line is there. We'll come back and see tomorrow. At last one was it. Okay, any questions? I know, I remember very well, I have to explain to you how unmanifest and manifest power. I'll explain to you. Any questions? Okay, abhut means became. Abhut is a past tense, aorist past tense verb of bhavati. Bhavati happens. Abhavat happened, lung. Abhut lung. Lum, aorist past. Abhut, actually past tense. Bhavati, you know, bhavati happens. Abhavat happened. Abhut also means happened only. For this person, sarvam atma abhavat. Atma abhut means what? Sarvam atma abhavat. Everything became atma. See, became means literally, it's said, but it's not take it literally. Everything doesn't become Atma, everything is Atma. Everything is Atma. Everything is non-different from Atma. That becomes clear for the person. Suppose if I tell you that for a person who has a clear vision of water being the truth of everything, okay, all the waves become water itself. Do the waves become water? No. waves are already water. Only after the, his clear vision of water being the truth of everything, he understands all the waves being non-different, non-separate from the water. Is it clear? Like that. So, after having the clear vision of the Atma, he understands the whole world is non-different from Atma, non-separate from Atma. Understanding the non-difference, understanding the non-difference is seeing everything as though becoming the Atma.
Oh, Swamiji, it's my understanding that when shoka and moha come together in the bhashyam, it's an indicator for samsara. Is it correct? And because it seems if we say the cause of samsara is ignorance of ignorance, then the implication is if we know we're ignorant, then we're not fully in samsara, which is a very optimistic statement.
No, that's not the truth. What Shastra says, you're not, that's not true. Very important factors revealed there. See, how important it is for a person to know, come to know one's ignorance. See, for an ignorant person, samsara is definitely there. Everybody is born ignorant. For everybody, naturally samsara is there. What is samsara? Going through pairs of opposite pains and pleasures we go through. There is always some sorrow, there's a grief, there's a pain. There is there. All the sense of insecurity, sense, everything is there naturally. Samsara is there. What he says, at least when you come to know ignorance is the root cause of samsara, you can make efforts to get rid of samsara. If you continue to be ignorant of your ignorance, there is no way of becoming free from samsara. So what Shankaracharya says, even though ignorance of the self is the cause of root cause of samsara, at least a person can make efforts by to know, thereby he can resolve his ignorance. By resolving the ignorance, he can become free from bondage of samsara. But think of the person who is ignorant of the ignorance. For him, there is no way of becoming free from samsara. The shoka moha will continue to be there for him because he is groping in total ignorance. He is groping in ignorance all the time. So, he wanted to highlight the importance of being aware of ignorance. See, only when you must be convinced of the fact that you are ignorant of yourself. See, it is easy for people who go and listen to a lot of things exposed, they can have their own ideas. Imagine for an ordinary individual human being who does not know that I am ignorant of myself. You must be convinced of the fact you are ignorant of yourself. If you are not convinced of the fact that you are ignorant of yourself, there is no way of making any effort to know what you are, what the truth is. Once you know, then at least then, once you go to, you surrender yourself to Shastra, Shruti Mata, you can go and take refuge in Shruti Mata, then she will take care of you. You are ignorant of your ignorance, you will be very arrogant, you will not go to Shruti. And who else can protect you? If Shruti cannot protect you, what else can protect you? That is the implication here.
But even if we know we are ignorant, shoka and moha are still there. I know I am ignorant, still I have greed, still I have greed.
Of course! That is definitely there. That is definitely there. At least if you know you are ignorant, at least when you start making effort, once you know what is the cause of shoka and moha, at least you are safe. you will know, you get rid of the, you know how to get rid of the causes of Musoka Moha. You will know. Isn't it? See, the person who is suffering all the time, you know, and he cannot go to doctor, no medicine can be prescribed for him unless his disease is diagnosed. You are suffering, suffering all the time. I have pain, I have body pain, I have that pain, I have this pain, I have this pain, this pain. The poor doctor cannot prescribe any medicine for you. Why? What really causes this problem? The disease has to be diagnosed. Isn't it? So, ignorance, you must know that you are ignorant. That's very important. If you are ignorant of your ignorance, there is no way of resolving ignorance. If you are ignorant, if you know that you are ignorant, then there is a way. At least there is a way. That's what Shankara wants to know. Mukshu should become a jinyasu. Now mukshu becomes a jinyasu, you surrender yourself to Shastra Mata. Shastram Sharanam Gacchami. Shruti Matram Sharanam Gacchami. Once you surrender yourself to Shastram, and just be there. Listen. Do Shravanam. Shravanam. Punaha Punaha Shravanam. And how long should I listen? Until the question resolves. Keep on listening, one day question will resolve. Somebody came and asked Swamiji, Swamiji, how long will it take to study Bhagavad Gita, to finish Gita? See, 3 years course means that PA, BCom, BSc, MA, MSc, 2 years, 3 years core degree. Bhagavad Gita, study, study. 1 year you study, 2 years you study, again you study, again you study, again start from the beginning, again you study. When should I stop? Until you discover moksha. When should I get moksha? When the teaching is becomes clear. How do you know teaching is become clear? The teaching becomes clear that your question will resolve. This is not something, okay? Even to understand subtle physics formulae takes time. We cannot understand everything overnight. You have to go systematically, step by step. What should be understood first must be understood first. What should be understood later on should be understood later on. The problem is, for everything the systematic teaching, Vedanta, unfortunately, we go and buy any book available in the market, read all books, go to YouTube or go to any all web websites, listen to all masalas. I'm not saying all masalas mean all forms of the mixed things. Masala means mixed things. It's an Indian expression. Okay. What I'm saying, it is nothing wrong. See, I'm not belittling, degrading any author on anywhere. They present something on their own. And when you go and listen to something in between, no head and tail of what is being taught. How can you understand? I pick up something and then you start thinking about it. You go mad. Because that I'm not taking anything about the person. Because there's no systematic. There's no systematic listening, understanding. So it's a question of time. Is it clear? Okay. Shadvadanam. Adhuna samayaha sayankale shadvadanam. Shadvadanam ityukte puja samayaha. saptavadane Bhagavad Gita-yaha parayanam bhavishya. So before that, you all must have your food to chant. Don't worry. Today's, I'm just reading Vibhashan. I wish you all can be with me when I read Sanskritam also. You will see so much. I can do so much. Okay, no problem. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.